Okay, guys, ready? So if you remember, in Chorev Zman, we focused on the Birchot HaShachar that appear in which Gemara? In Brachot. But there are three others that appear in Menachot. The three Brachot, the Shalom Asani Brachot. So we are going to try to do it. We have what? How many weeks left do we have? It's May 1st. So what do we have? 4 Sundays left? 5 Sundays? So we're going to try, because these are a bit complicated. Well, A, they're complicated. B, they're a bit controversial sometimes, right? Meaning the whole idea of Shalom Asani, whatever. Shalom Asani Isha has gotten a lot of press. Maybe we'll have time to talk in that context of Shasani Kirtsono. So there's sort of like the traditional dispute of the last, I don't know, maybe 50 years of how to deal with people who are offended by Shalom Asani Isha. But there is the whole sort of more recent discussion, which are people who are offended by the notion of man and woman at all, right? So that gets, right, makes it more complicated, and there are actually tshuvot about this. Sisley Ezra's tshuvot about this. So these have been sort of politically heated, but they're also not new. These are the ones that are more recently complicated, but what was the one that was traditionally controversial? Yeah, Shalom Asani Goy, because as you know, the Gemara was heavily censored by Christians, and as you'll just see in a second here after 5, right, Shalom Asani Goy, right, you can see how much that line got massacred. In fact, it got massacred in, you have to make more copy. Oh, here, one more copy. That got massacred in our Gemara because our, wait, no, Zach. So don't bring the sources into, just put them down. Fine. But this got problematic. And in fact, if you open the standard Vilna Shas, does it say Shalom Asani Goy? No, it's a Shasani Yisrael, right? So we'll see that this will be complicated because, right, each of these has controversies. Shalom Asani Eved, less, right, less controversial as things go. But it actually, a shir I've given before Yom HaShoah, and we'll see briefly, is a fascinating shaila from Rav Ashri writing in the Kovnot Ghetto, where someone in the Kovnot Ghetto said, wait a second, can I really say Shalom Asani Eved, really?
Like, here we are in the ghetto. Jewish slave or non-Jewish slave?
Yeah, well, that's part of it. But he said, like, I don't feel like I'm free, right? I don't feel like I'm free, right? So each of these, there's the textual issues, and then there's, like, the emotional, political, contextual, social issues that arise. At different times, it's different of these brachot, right? But each of them has it, okay? So today what I do is I do an introduction to these brachot, and then I put Shalom Asani Goy Eved together, but it still may take 2 weeks, but Shalom Asani Eved is not such a huge one. Shalom Asani Goy is... And Shalosan Isha and Shalosan Kirtsano is a very complicated topic. Okay, so what are these brachot? So I just gave you from the Siddur, Shalosani Goy for a female Goya, Shalosani Eved, Shalosani Shivcha. I don't know, this was on, well, it was on Svaria, but many people do say that, yes, it would be grammatically correct.
Yeah.
And then Shalosani Isha. And Shasani Kirtsano. So where do these come from? So they come from the Gemara Menachot. The Gemara Menachot Mem Gimel Bet Mem Dalet Aleph tells the following story. And if these lines in the Gemara don't make you realize that we need to really understand this, well, let's see. Tanya, Hayari Meir Omer Chayav Adam Levarech Mea Brachot Bechol Yom. You are obligated to say how many brachot every day?
100.
Shneemar Vata Yisrael Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach. The source is God. Jews, what does God want from your life?
Where does that show 100 brachot?
Ah, very good. So the standard understanding of this is Al Tikri Ma Elam Meya.
Oh yeah. My God.
It's an Al Tikri. Don't read Ma.
Meya?
Yes, don't read it as Ma, but Meya. What does God want from you? Turns into God wants from you 100. there are other sources for it, but okay. But as we'll see, it does seem to be in many of the sources this is supported, that the entire notion of saying extra brachot during the day is actually a function of our desire to make sure we get to 100. So the next line in the Gemara is Rav Chiya Breider of Avya Bishavta of Yom Tov Veitarach Umamalehu Beis Parmaki Umegade. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, when you don't say 100 brachot, so Rav Chiya used to snack. Okay, that's what that means. He would snack, right? Because during the week, you don't really have to count, right? You know that you're going to hit 100, right? By the time you multiply Shmon Esrei times 3, so you get 57 because Shmoneh Esrei is 19, so fine, whatever. Right, 57, and then you have, and by the time you have, right, Birchot HaShachar, Birchot Kriyat Shema, you're talking, right, you are quite, I mean, you do the math, right, that's 57, plus Baruch Shamar Yishtabach is 59, plus 15 Birchot HaShachar is 74, plus Birchot HaTorah, plus Birchot Kriyat Shema morning and night, plus, I mean, right, you very quickly get to your 100. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, a little bit harder. Tanya, Hayer Rabbi Meir Omer, Meir said, though, in the Tosefta, we'll see, it's not Rabbi Meir, it's Rabbi Huda. Chayev Adam Levarech Shalosh Brachot Bechol Yom. You have to say three brachot. So this is a unit of three. What are they? Elohein, She'asani Yisrael, who made me a Jew. Shelo Asani Isha, Shelo Asani Bor, who didn't make me a woman and didn't make me an idiot. A fool. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Shamei Livrei, Dehalei Kamavarech, Shelo Asani Bor. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov heard his son saying, Shelo Asani Bor, you didn't make me a fool. Amar Lei, Kulei Hainami, really? You say that too? Amar Lei, Umay Mavarech? Well, Umay Mavarech, so what else do you want me to say? We know it's three, so what's the third? If not, you didn't make me a fool. He said, Shelo Asani Eved, you didn't make me a slave. And then, if you want to understand why people get offended by this bracha, the next five words should get it. The Gemara says, why would you say Shelo Asani Eved, Hainu Isha? Isn't that the same as just saying Shelo Asani Isha, that you didn't make me a woman? And the Gemara says, Eved Zil Tve. Being a slave is worse
even
than being a woman. And therefore,
so why say Shelo Asani Isha?
So, okay. There's a lot to unpack in these. But okay. First of all, these are a unit of three. Is that much we agree on?
Yeah.
Oh, good. We have now agreed on one thing. It is a unit of three. Possibly, this is just by accident, sort of incidentally, grouped together with Me'er Brachot. But possibly, the entire notion of saying these Brachot is in an attempt to get to 100 Brachot. That is the position of Rav Avram ben Arambam, the Sefer HaMaspik, in number three. Brachot Elo Hena Yiduot Kemea Brachot. Lo Mishum Shemisparan Me'a. Right, these are known as 100 brachot, not because they are actually 100. Elam mishum shein mashlimot mispar mea brachot amichuyuvot al pi divrayhem. It's because they contribute to getting to 100. Right, that seems to be their goal. And now, if you look at the Sefer HaPardes, the next two sources says, Ezra uveit dino tiknu lanu brachot l'shevach. Right, where do these brachot come from? So Ezra and his Beit Din instituted brachot for us to thank God for all the good that we had. So first we have all those brachot that we saw. All those, right? All those, we did those in the brachot. Some, as we saw, say it, that when do you say it? As you're doing it. And some say that you say it. And then we saw the Gonim say you don't because your hands aren't clean. Right? So you say it in shul. And therefore the minhag is to say it in shul. Okay? The yesh benagdolim sha'omer sheshar brachot gegonoi zhabit vura. And some say that if you didn't actually wear a shirt, a belt, then you don't say the bracha. He says, that's not true. And we already saw this machloket. Why? Because the Sefer HaPardes says, why is it not true? Right? Because, yes, he says, you know why we don't pass the Rambam? Because the point of these brachot fundamentally is to get you to 100. So don't be so picky, right? They're helping you. They're giving you 15. You know, 15 helps, right? Just take it. Take it and run. Fine. But then he says... If you really want to see how much he believes this, I'm going to skip the last line, but look at the next source. He says, Bracha, Birchot HaShacharit, Hen Yoter Me'esrim. All the Bracha in the morning are 20, more than 20. right? Because it's the 15 plus Berachah Shachar plus Asher Yatzar plus Nezmas Daim, right? All that together. The Fiv Shinah the Mosif Lavarech Al Kolat Tzarech Vatzarech Behem. He says because we add. Remember, we saw this problem on Notzin of Koach. Wait, it's not in the Gemara. You know what the Sefer HaPardes' solution is? Who the heck cares? Uminadin lo yiru yimele tam nesrei. But you're right. By right, there should be 18. Ve'lachu shemosifu. But who cares if you add? Shlo nemer elo shlo lefachot. You can't have less. Aval ahosiv yesh lo rishur levarech kol achavit lo.
You're supposed to make brachos whenever you want.
I'm just going to point out what Rashi's Beit Midrash said. Aval ahosiv yesh lo rishur levarech al kol achavit lo. But you want to add, add whatever you want. So there is this idea...
Sure.
According to him, sure. Right? So what do you get? What you see from here is that there is this idea that this is part of the Me'ar Brachot, and maybe in the extreme form of Sefer HaPardes, which is, you want to say more? Gizotay. Right? Come up with something else. Okay. Happy. It makes you feel happy to thank God for something else? Gizotay. Okay. That's a little bit of background to these brachot. But let's actually try to understand it. So as I said, so far we've agreed that there are three brachot and they are a unit. The second thing is that it might just be that these are part of our desire to get to 100 brachot. Maybe not, but maybe yes. And maybe you're even allowed to add. Okay, so far nothing too crazy. I mean, a little bit crazy, but not so crazy. What are these brachot? And what are you doing? Okay, that's the major question. What are these brachot and what are you doing? And as I said, they are a little bit controversial because you look at it, if you want my proof that it's controversial. So again, the first one is controversial. How do I know? Because what we have in our Gemara isn't what the Gemara originally said, right? And we'll talk about it more when we actually do Shalom Asani Goy. But our Girsa in the Gemara says, Sha'asani Yisrael. And I look, I gave you five Ksav Yad, okay? Five Ksav Yad, right? Venice. What? Look, I gave you Venice. Venice, the Girsa, Shalowasani.
Four.
Goy. Right? Minkin 95 is Shalowasani. Goy. Right? Kuf Yudchet, I don't even know what it is. Shalowasani. Goy. Vatican, Shalowasani. Goy. The next Vatican, Shalowasani. Goy. As we'll see when we actually do Shalani Goy, there are other Girsot. Shalowasani Guti, Shalowasani Akum. Kuti, sorry. Kuti. Shalowasani Kuti, Shalowasani Akum, Shalowasani Min, Shalowasani whatever, or Shasani Yisrael, which... Yes, and yet, as we'll see, there was at least one very major posek who said, no, it's not censorship. What we have in our Gemara is right. Who is it? Let's guess. Let's see if anyone here who follows his sitter, him, actually does this. The Gra, thank you. The Gra's gear says Shalosani is Shasani Yisrael. The Gra thinks that our Gemara is the correct Girsa. It's not. He's wrong. I'm just saying. Okay, you can see I gave you five here. I put more next week. Okay. Right? But I gave you, look, in the Cairo Geniza we have it. Right, and by the way, in the Yerushalmi also, what does the Yerushalmi say? What does the Yerushalmi say? Shalosani Goy, because the Yerushalmi is not his. And I gave you in 10, right? The Gra, Shalosani, he says, yes, the Rif and the Rambam have that. Aval, ours say Shalosani Yisrael. And that's right. That's written in the Rosh, that's in the Tour. Okay?
Can I say Shalosani Minotaur too?
What?
Shalot?
Well, we'll talk about this. We'll talk about it. Yep. Yep. Everything. Yep. And I gave you a summary here in the L.A. Tamar, right, where he goes through a lot of this, and he notes that the Gra has the Girsa of Shasan Yisrael. And if you want just a summary, he gave you all these different Girsaot. But he further notes, as we'll see, the standard version we have in our text are these three. However, there are many other texts and many other Mesorot. So, for example, look about halfway through the Alei Tamar, who quotes that the Leket Yosher quotes from the Truman Adeshen, right, Rav Isserlein, that the minhag of women, right? So we know that now most women say Shasani Kirtsono. But there were different minhagim. So, for example, the minhag in Germany 500 years ago was that women said Shalo Asani Behema. That was their gear. So Shalo Asani Behema. They didn't say that I'm not an animal. And he notes that in some girsa out of the Gemara, apparently that was a girsa, right? That was a girsa. Right? And he quotes this, he goes through this, and he says, maybe that's okay. Again, we're going to come back to it when we do Shalo Asani Isha. My point is simply to point out that there's this group of three, but the exact girsa, the exact version, unclear. Okay? Now, Arye, tell me. Remember, the Rambam, Mr. Maimonidean, says, when do you say the other 12 brachot?
As you do that.
Good. What would you say about these three brachot?
They action.
Good. So the simple shot you would think, is that, okay, now we've gotten past it. There are these brachot, but they're a state of being brachot. And therefore, even if the Rambam thinks that the other 12 you only say if you experience something, these brachot are state of being. Who holds that? Most people. So if you look, for example, at 13 at the Lavush, Lavush says, "V'nir li shemitam zanu misadron do betchilam yarach alasach vivina v'mnei shebech hashiyasov v'chaneshom zach vivina kulam nidgal yitzira." He says we put it towards the beginning of Berchot HaShachar because they are brachot nidkenu al yitzira l'fichach samchu lahem gamkin elu ha'shalosh shenidku al zeh mikan v'elech matchilam brachot shalanach. Right, so after that, so we saw notin l'sech vina, we saw as a borderline case, right? Where some people think it's actually on bria. So he says, why is the minhag to say the three brachot have notin l'sech vina? Because the rest are about hana, and these are about state of being. Who disagreed with that? 1 second. The Rambam. The Rambam actually did not agree with this. Well, we don't know if the Rambam agreed with it. We know that Avraham ben Rambam did not agree with it. And look at this wild, 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 wild shot in a Rambam and a Rambam, but as Naftali Weider has pointed out, we have Sidurim from the Geniza that actually support this as having been the minhag in Egypt. This is again the Sefer HaMaspik. So remember this: Kishiachkar. This is 12. Kishiachkar Chagoro Mechnasayim Mivarech Oziyosho Gvuro. Yeah, remember all that? So two lines in the bottom: Ukishiroa Isha Mivarech Shalosan Isha. You see a woman, if the bracha couldn't get more offensive, it's not like you say it in shul. It's you wait. Oh, shalom asani that, right? Ukishiroa eved, when you see a slave, shalom asani that, right? Goy, mevarak shalom asani goy. So, yeah, exactly. So that is actually how Rambam and Rambam takes it, which is, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. So, okay, fine. Three brachot unit. We've seen that there's textual machloket about what exactly the girsa was. Now the next machloket is, what is it? Are these state of being brachot, or are they experiential brachot like the rest of them? I don't know what to tell you. Okay, fine.
You didn't have to take it like that. You could say, like, when you do the first, like, Jewish thing of the day, you say, like...
You could have. He didn't. Now, very good. Now, there is a book that came out recently, maybe 10 years ago, by Yoel Kahn, called The Three Blessings. It was called The Three Blessings. It was called
The... Is it
These
Three Blessings?
Yes, it's These Three Blessings, but let's see. I think it's what it's called. It's a very simple title. Let's see. The Three Blessings, Boundary, Censorship, and Identity in Jewish Liturgy. Okay, where he literally... it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a book about these three blessings. Okay, got it? He points out... No. So the earlier chapters about what is the original Girsa, what did it mean, what etc. And then the later chapters are different eras. How did people deal with it? Meaning he's a Reform scholar. So it's how do Orthodox scholars deal with it, how do conservative scholars deal with it, how do Reform scholars... It's like a history of these three brachot, right? From the textual issues in the Talmud through... modern rewrites and things like that.
There's modern rewritings of that?
Like when you
does
say
that
rewrites,
even surprise you?
Do you mean no? When you say rewrites, do you mean somebody has changed the girsa in our time, or it's just
rewrote bracha? Either they've decided to say Shosan Yisrael and make everything positive, or they've stopped saying Shalosan Isha, or they've yes. 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 He goes spends pages and pages and pages on translations. Yes. He goes through all the translations, all the apologetics in translation, goes through the hurts, he goes through yes. 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 Okay. What?
Can he get the book for me?
I could try. It's a very nice little book. There was also a journal put out by Maharad a few years ago, a while ago already, and the Karen Journal number 2, which was all about this, just about Shalosan Isha, which was sort of a wide-ranging thing. But in that, they republished an article by Yosef Tabori, which is also a good summary of, and that's easily accessible online, which is a decent summary if you don't want to read a whole book of like 20, 30 pages of some of these issues. It's pretty succinct. It'll get you 50% of, it'll get you most of the way there in terms of general ideas, even if not the Pirtei Pratim. I'm not endorsing any conclusions there. I'm just saying it exists. When we get to Shalosan Isha, I'll talk a little bit about that, but right now. But what Khan points out is that you can't fully understand these brachot until you realize that this is actually a trope in the ancient world in general. So, for example, if you look in Diogenes Laertius, anyone read that Greek? I don't. But I gave it to you just for fun, right? Right. So he quotes as follows, and Hermippus in his Lives attributes to this man, Thales, that which is said by some concerning Socrates. For they said that he would say he was grateful to fortune for these three things. First, that he was human and not a beast. Next, that he was a man, not a woman. Third, that he was Greek and not a barbarian. So in fact, this idea of a three-pronged thing, of which one is, I am the nation I am and not the nation I'm not, right? I'm a man and not a woman. For him, it was animal, but as we've seen, there are gears out like that. This is actually a trope. So it could just be, now, what do you do with that information? So you could just say that this is like a common trope because it's a common human experience of the world, is that I appreciate my existence and I thank God, the gods, whatever, for it. And what I learned from the fact that this is a common trope in the ancient world is that this was like a category that people would have been familiar with of how you show appreciation. Right, so it could be nothing more complicated than that. If you want to push it farther, it could be that part of it is that the rabbis wanted to appropriate it, because if you have all the people around you saying, thank God I'm not you, then a good response is, well, thank God I'm not you, right? Like, right? Yes. But something, there's something very powerful about it culturally, right? Which is saying, listen, you think that I'm in the... Right, you think that you thank your lucky stars that you're not me. No, I actually feel like I'm privileged. Now, that would also help you. One of the major questions that we have to ask is, we've said, okay, what are these brachot? Right, we have a lot of questions about this. But before we even get into the details, so we've asked, what are these brachot? But something should bother you, which is, why are these brachot in the negative? Right, why are these three blessings shelo asani? Why aren't they positive? So one answer might just be, look, this is a trope. Why is it a trope? I don't know. But we are responding. This is how people said things, so we say it that way too. What? Right. And it could just be psychologically that, I don't know, right? Right. And I will point out to you, if you skip down to, skip to 22, right, for a second. I don't know why I exactly did. I think I just added things to this source at different times. If you skip to 22, you'll see that historically, our three weren't actually the only ones the Jews said. So if you see, Khan quotes this, that here is one version of what they found in a medieval siddur. Praised are you, eternal, our God, King of the universe, who created me, a person, not a beast, a man and not a woman, an Israelite and not a Gentile, circumcised and not uncircumcised, free and not a slave. I took from Farber's article, but he takes it from Kahn, but it was just easier to cut and paste from here, so I didn't have to retype it. He just quotes all different types of, here's ancient and medieval Siddurim. So you'll see this was not, right? So you had some which actually had the positive. Shabarati oti, well, both. Adam velo beima, ish velo isha, zachar velo nekeva, yisrael velo goy, mal velo arel, right? Circumcised, not circumcised, chafshi velo eved, tahar velo tamei, or ish velo isha, adam velo behema, yisrael velo yishmaili, right? And another one, ish velo isha, adam velo behema, mal velo arel, shalo astani eved, another, shalo astani eved, shalo astani bilti medaber, right? You didn't make me a non-speaking, right? Shasiti ish velo isha, shalo asiti goy, Kigoye ha'aratzot. Some didn't have the gears of Goy, but had Goy kigoye ha'aratzot. Some had mol velo arel. Shalos on the eved labrio. You didn't make me an eved to creatures because I am an eved to God. Right? Shalos on the isha. Shalos on the behema. Right? So these were also a bit fluid. So when you are understanding the bracha, you have to realize that historically the gears that we have is not necessarily the only one that was embraced. It's a good question. We'll talk about it. But I just want, again, today is just an introduction into this entire category. So, and of course, we're going to dig down into the very weird Gemara, which is, in what way is an Eved and Isha the same? Why was he so upset by Shalos on the boar? I mean, what's going on in that Gemara? There's a lot you have to unpack in that Gemara. But okay, why is it that at least the version we have is all in the negative? Good. So you could have just said very simply, listen, let's be real. People don't judge themselves based on what they have. They judge themselves based on what they have compared to other people.
Yeah.
That don't, right? I was reading a book recently, The Happiness Curve. That's exactly what it sounds like, right? It's about the happiness curves in people's lives. No, in people's lives, in most people's lives, right, they go through a dip. There's just a period in their life where they're just not as happy, usually around their 40s. And one of the reasons that that seems to be true across all cultures, it doesn't matter, is because, listen, it really doesn't matter. If you are a billionaire, but you only hang out with billionaires, right, so then you're not going to be happy because, right, people don't judge themselves. Right, people judge themselves based on others around them. They judge themselves on based where they thought they would be, where they think they can be, and very rarely just on
where they are.
Right? That's how it's. You could just give a psychological answer, which is, look, we do it in the negative because that realistically is how we appreciate it by contrast. Right? That's just what it is. The traditional answers, right, like the ones found in traditional sources. Again, another possibility is we're responding sort of a trope. That's fine. The Bach gives two suggestions. Look at the third line in the Bach, 15. V'yesh makshin, amaylo tiknu levarach sha'asani Yisrael, kachol shara brachot, shenitko ala chesed sha'asa befoal, shenatan lev bina, mal besharumim, bokeach ivrim. Can't you be positive, people? Right? Why don't you just thank God for it? So he has two possibilities. The first one is extremely depressing. Okay? The first one is the following. Umefarshim al derech mama rabotenu. He says it's based on the Gemara in Irvin. Noach lo adam shelo nivra mishe nivra. Because we paskin, it's better to never have been created than be created. And therefore he says, really, you're not going to say thank you for making me. Because kolomar, me itin shelo asuni. Halavai never would have been born. So what do you say? V'achshev shasani. But oh, you did create me. At least you didn't make me that. And therefore, you can't legitimately say Shasani, because you're not happy that you're alive. You can say that your miserable life is a little bit less miserable.
Yeah, that seems like a bit of a downer.
What?
Seems like a bit of a downer.
Oh, beautiful. I know, it's beautiful, beautiful. Right? So that's his first answer. Now he says, V'na'uhu lidrasha. He says, that's a nice vort. Aval ein kan kush. He says the truth is it's not a problem. He doesn't say that's crazy. He just says it's a nice fart, but it's not true, right? I mean, like, you know, I mean, to be fair, I don't know. Maybe the rest of human history was just really miserable. I mean, probably was. I don't know. He says no. This goes back to what we said before. Remember, we said what is the goal of these brachot?
To get to 100.
To say a lot of brachot. He says very simple. If I said Sha'asani Yisrael, what would that mean?
It includes all the other
All the other ones. Because if I am a male Jew, then I am free and I'm not a woman. And then you got one. You don't get three. But if I do it in the negative, I can pack on the bracha. Says, because if I would say Sha'asani Yisrael Shifar Berach Mashmo Ben Chorin Umashmo Nami Ish Yisrael V'lo Isha Dishenik Yisraelit. But I want you, Veinze Kavanatot Lekatzer El Laharich V'Hodaot Levarich Al Kol Chesed V'Chesed Bracha Bifnei Atzma. We want to be able to praise for every aspect of it, and therefore.
Rabbi, maybe it's because we're created by Tzelem Elohim, and just like we can't describe God in positives, we also can't describe ourselves in positives.
Okay.
And that would also only work if you believe in negative theology to begin with.
Yes. Okay, good. So those are the sort of the two traditional answers. Now that I'm looking at it, do you want to start understanding what these brachas are about, or should we do that within each bracha?
Within each.
Okay, so I'm going to skip now Rashi and Tosfot, which get into the question now. But I'll just say in advance, where are we going to look to try to figure out what these brachas are even about? Right? So we've gotten sort of basics down, but how are we going to figure out what we're thanking God about? Where are we going to have to look?
In the Gemara itself.
In the Gemara, and what are we going to have to look at?
The context.
Meaning what? The best place is going to be that conversation, which is what was the Hava Amina, that Eved and Isha are equivalent, and the Maskana that they're not, right? Because clearly there was some logic going on where he thought you should say X, and then he said, no, you should say Y, right? So that is going to be where a lot of people are going to go, which is to figure out what is going on there, right? In what sense is the principle behind this such that Eved is worse than Isha? What is the axis upon which we're analyzing this? So I'm going to skip that. Okay. Another possibility, the Taz says that the reason we say the negative is because we want to make it clear that this is not that we think there's something wrong fundamentally with there being non-Jews or being women, because that would imply that creation is lacking. This is a personal bracha. Shelo asani, right? Not that shelo asa, right? So that's his argument. And again, we'll come back to it. I gave you here the... I'm going to skip 18 and 19 because you wanted to leave it for the brachot itself. Okay, another... I'm trying to think what legitimately goes in introduction rather than in each bracha. So here's another point that I think that is relevant to all of them, which is... how seriously do we take the word asani? What do I mean? Is this a bracha about creation or your current state? What's the nafkamina now? So first of all, is what if you are enslaved? But a much simpler one, which is a ger. He is a Jew, but God didn't not make him a guy, right? So another sort of overarching approach is another, right? So again, if I'm just trying this week to focus on the introductory points, right? Another question is going to be, how seriously do we take Asani, right? Is it, you didn't make me, like you didn't create me? Is it thanks for that? Or is it my current state? And we're going to see that the place where the most ink has been spilled on that question is what we'll see next week, I guess, if I run through this fast enough, which is ger, goy, right? I mentioned that Tzitzel Yezer actually asked this about Shelo Asani Isha, which is that Tzitzel Yezer says, even if you think that going through sexual reassignment surgery makes you the other sex, you still might not be able to say Shlo Asani because God did make you the other sex. You chose to switch. And so even if you think it works, right, this bracha might not work for you because if you think it's about creation, right, like how you were born, right? So right, he raises this parallel from the discussion by Goy Ger to the question of Isha, right? So it does, at some level, affect all of them. Evan is the one that's that actually is the most fluid in that way, right? Because you can very much imagine someone being an Evan, right? Especially since an Evan Kenani, once freed, becomes a Jew, right? That is going to be one that is very simple to deal with it. We're going to have to deal with it. So again, questions that we have to see for all three. Okay, again, in each one, we're going to have to check Girsa. In each one, we have to figure out what is the principle that drives them. It could be it's one principle that drives all three. It could be different principles that drive different ones, right? Third question, the overarching issue is how is this in conversation with that which exists in the ancient world? Right? It could just be this is a trope that we thank God for. It could be that it's a reappropriation. The fourth issue we saw is why is in the negative. So possibility one, because we don't really want to live, but we're happy that our life isn't more miserable than it already is. Second possibility is we want to be an excuse to be marbet in brachot. Third possibility, which is a variation, which is from the Taz, is because we want to make it clear it's about me, not that God didn't make, but it's about right, me, right? God made everything. That's all great, but I'm thanking for my state in life. The next point to, as an overarching point, is to recognize that even though we have these brachot, they have been fluid, right? That's just important to realize in these conversations. Sixth point that we'll see is in each of them, I think we have to ask, and this goes back to the why for the bracha. Actually, we didn't do this yet. So the one we did say already is, how seriously do we take Asani, right? Is it about your current state of being, or is it actually about birth? When we get to the rationale for each bracha, we're going to have to ask, does it need an objective rationale or not? So, for example, let's take Shlo Asani Isha, right, where it's the most sort of modern discussion. Do we have to look for a reason that justifies why men have a certain benefit over women? Is that the type of reason you would look for to explain the bracha? Or is it legitimate to look for an explanation that simply explains why me, personally, I'm comfortable saying the bracha because I do feel like I'm happy with my lot? Is that sufficient? Right? What is this bracha doing?
Now, what if I'm happy with the lot?
We're going to have to talk about that, right? And that's obviously going to be the question. What if you're not? Right? Or whatever, right? And we're going to see that discussion will come up in Shasani Kirtsono, where at least some of the poskim, the Rishonim already, say, yeah, that's Kitsidu Kadin, right? That saying that bracha is like Kitsidu Kadin. It's like saying, God, I don't understand your ways, but, right? Okay, I trust you, right? Which obviously gets into that. Toch Kadeh, maybe we'll talk a little bit, which is all these questions in the modern discussion are in the background of, okay, we know there's flexibility. We know there's been changes. Does that mean we can actually push towards change? Right, that's a bit of a controversial one, but a lot of the modern discussion hasn't just been this history and understanding it, but is, well, what if we're not like that, right? I mean, what if in the slave case, what if there are no slaves, right? Or you never come into contact with slaves. Or in the woman case, what if we're in a point where, let's say you say Shlo Asani Isha is more about the lower social status that women had time of the Gemara. What if that's not true anymore and therefore you don't have those disadvantages, right? If you say that to the brothers about, would it change, right? Or what if people are offended, right? Or Shlo Asani Goy, which was the traditional one where people were offended, right? Everyone does. Thank you, Joe. So I'll just end here with 23. This is from Yoel Kahn's book. He says, the Jewish religious tradition, like many others, has always sought to legitimate its practices through teaching that validate their authenticity and historical authority. The strongest claim the Jewish tradition makes is that a teaching or practice was initiated by one of the patriarchs, like the institution of three daily prayer services or learned from Moses at Mount Sinai. It is therefore unsurprising that later commentators related the custom to recite 100 daily blessings to an event in the life of King David. Right, so... Right, so therefore he says, traditional sources almost never explicitly acknowledge how Jewish texts or practices have been shaped by or in competition with alternative teaching, practice, or texts from the surrounding culture. Thus, although we can imagine these blessings emerging independently in Jewish circles during the late Second Temple period, it is likely that they were first said in social contexts when members of other groups were making similar comments about themselves. Before they were known as blessings per se, some versions of these words may have functioned as an identifying slogan or folk aphorism, right? So he raises the possibility explicitly that these brachot may have actually originated, right, not with the rabbis, but the rabbis were coming to formalize sentiments that people had. Now, of course, if that's true historically, that may have no relevance halachically, but it also might just point to the way in which these brachot have a certain flexibility. And to be fair, this is not so different from who? From the Sefer HaPardes. Remember the Sefer HaPardes? Right? Which is, this is like the ones Chazal said. You want to add more. Right? I mean, Sefer HaPardes seems to be almost explicitly saying that these brachot are fundamentally a formalization of people's experience of the world. I mean, that's what he's saying. Right? I mean, he's not going this far as saying that the rabbis actually took aphorisms, but he's saying that basically, if you have an aphorism that you say, thank God for making me X, and you want to turn that into a bracha, he actually thinks you could do that now. Right? That's what he's saying. So therefore, as much as, you know, I don't think it's crazy to at least entertain this historical question of, are the rabbis simply codifying, especially when you realize that there were at least, even if it is not the mainstream, but to understand halachically, that there were dominant voices like Rashi, who thought that it was legitimate for us to have flexibility, and historically there was flexibility, right? It's important to at least understand that, to understand where this falls experientially. Says, let me just read this paragraph. One second. Give me one second. The continuous thread that links the diverse history of this liturgical text is the ongoing desire to establish authenticity. Within their respective cultural religious systems, the Hellenistic and Jewish formulations sought to affirm the authenticity and primacy of their cultures. Over time, the continual debate turned on the authentic use of the blessings in terms of both proper context and authenticity of language. The censored manuscripts often preserve signs of effort to mark the absence of what the copyist knew was the once authentic language. Later, when the language was deliberately changed, claims for authenticity were based on the historical record created by the very texts that were themselves the product of censorship. The multivocal meaning of the text for almost every generation included the acknowledgement of historical continuity. Even moderns who are explicit in their rejection of many of the core values of the master narratives that generated these texts nonetheless seek, whenever possible, to maintain the structural integrity and manifest language of the received tradition. The full acceptance of this yearning for authenticity and desire for continuity may enable us to read the historical record with a greater sensitivity to its nuanced multivocality, while enabling us to embrace our own conflicted relationships with received religious texts and practice. Now, again, he's not an Orthodox scholar. I'm not, and his solutions are not ones I would endorse, but I think he does make a good point, which is, because these brachot may historically have emerged from a social context, because according to certain Rishonim, you're allowed to add. And even without that historical context, the very nature of the brachot are reflective of how you view your being, right? Like that's what these brachot are doing. It makes sense that these brachot, more than any other brachot, are going to have controversy from the outside, right? Like censorship from the inside, because, right? If someone happens to be, I don't know, he doesn't like hats, okay? He's probably not offended by the existence of, right? Oter Yisrael b'tefara. He doesn't like belts, right? Oter Yisrael doesn't offend him. I venture to guess that probably even most, nudists are not offended by Malbish Aruman, right? They probably agree that people who choose to wear clothes can be thankful for it. I don't know. Maybe not. I have no idea. I don't know many. I don't know any. I'm like trying to think. That I know of, right? But Shaloh Asani's, these brachot do cut to identity, right? That's what they are. And therefore, you would expect that already in the time of the Gemara, right? In the time of the Gemara already, in the few lines we have in the Gemara in Menachot, there's a certain heat, right? In that Gemara, which is, why are you saying that? Why would you, right? Sholosani Bor, how could you say such a thing? Right now, it may not be that he liked Amaratzim. It could be that he thought that it's about Asani, which is, it's a choice to be an Amaratz. You can't say that, right? That may be what's going on there. But still, the fact that in the Gemara itself, in the Rishonim, there does seem to be a certain recognition of the emotional valence of these, right? Because you're not just talking about an action. You're talking about identity, what we are happy with, what we're unhappy with. I think it's just important to have that framing to understand why there were so many versions of this throughout history, because outsiders were offended by them, because insiders were struggling with what they were trying to say, how they were viewing their life, right? And again, even within the accepted canon, right, you see, like, the Truman Adeshin is a pretty major posting, and he's saying, yeah, women, the minhag was to say shalosani behema, right? There, even within sort of like the history of very standard psak, there were different versions. Because these brachot are really halacha's way of negotiating the way we view the nature of our very existence. Okay? So there really is a lot going on here. I will leave it there. There are sources in here we didn't cover, but we're going to come back to them. I think when I first did it, I was like, I wanted to give like test cases and give you like one or two sources of Isha Goy, but I think it's probably better so that we actually have a hope of finishing before the end of Zman, that I just leave those. Next week we'll do Goy, maybe Goy and Evan, I'm not sure. It's one source sheet, so that at least it's all there with the theoretical possibility of doing 1 week. It's probably going to be two. And whatever time we have left, we'll do a Shaloh Asani Isha, okay?